Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
A man who truly needs no introduction. You know, I should say that about everybody, but I don't. That's what makes him special. His name is Bob Glauber. He's the NFL columnist for Newsday, author of Guts and Genius, at Bob Glauber on Twitter, and it's a new book. And it talks about three impeccable gentlemen, guys who are incredible NFL coaches in their own right. And Bob Glauber joins us on the show tonight. Bob, thanks for joining us.
Ken, thanks for having me. I think I'm going to have to retire after that introduction. I'm done. I'm all good. Thank you.
Well, you know, I've ended a lot of careers, so it's not a very good. I was the last guy to host the Hugh Jackson show in Cleveland, so here we are. So the book is called Guts and Genius. It's so easy to write Guts and Glory, but it still says Guts and Genius. And it says the story of three unlikely coaches who came to dominate the NFL in the 80s. We're talking about Gibbs. We're talking about Bill Walsh. And obviously Bill Parcells, who, I don't, you know, Bob, and you probably know better than this, or you probably know better than I do is what I mean. They seem to come, like Bill Walsh comes from a different background. He's more of a, he seemed to be more intricate in the details and much more of a philosopher. Parcells was really rough and tumble. Gibbs seemed to take a mix of the two there, at least from my point of view. But when you wrote about these three guys, when you go back to what it was in the 80s, one of them has obviously passed on. How did you mix it all together and find out the true essence of each one of these coaches?
Well, that's a good question, The reason I linked them together, and looking back at NFL history and that decade in particular, I think in a lot of ways that was the golden age of football. Mm-hmm. It's still a great game. There's no question. It's a great sport. It's still very popular, and games are great. But back then, you know, you had it was a different landscape. It was a lot of rivalries. When you were a good team, you stayed good, and you could keep a team together. And to get good was harder in a sense because it took more time to build those teams. So, you know, those guys were unlikely at the time. You know, 1979, you tell me that Bill Walsh, Joe Gibbs, and Bill Parcells are going to be the coaches of the decade and win a combined 8 Super Bowls over an 11-year period. Nope. People would have said, what are you talking about? Who are these guys? Because really, they're household names now, but in the Hall of Fame. But back then, they were just lightly known and lightly regarded coaches, and they all kind of went through things differently. But what linked them together was not only the competition they had with each other. They played each other a number of times, and a lot of times, whoever won that game would go on to win the Super Bowl that year. But what linked them together was, you know, obviously a belief in their core values and their core systems, but they overcame really difficult beginnings, and they all thought they were going to be fired early on, literally. Mm-hmm. Bill Walsh thought, I'm done. A year and a half in, I think I'm going to get fired, or I don't think I can take this. He actually broke down after a game against Don Shula in Miami where he lost, and he felt he was at fault. He broke down on the team plane and was weeping uncontrollably, and coaches and the general manager, John McVay, they had to kind of huddle around Walsh to prevent the players from thinking anything was wrong. He finally gathered himself and you know, a year and a half later, won his first of three Super Bowl championships. Joe Gibbs thought he'd be the first coach in NFL history fired before ever winning a game, and Parcells was going to be fired his first season. And it's kind of a remarkable symmetry with those coaches. And they did it differently. You're absolutely right. You know, Walsh was the thinking man's coach, and Gibbs was a bit of a mix of the two. Very physical coach, loved the physical running game, and Parcells was a brute. And you got to play great defense and run the ball and be tough minded, and that's how he won Super Bowls. And those guys really took turns winning each year, just about each year of that decade and into the early 90s. And it was a pretty fascinating time in the NFL.
Bob Glauber joining us on the show. You know, I always try to find the excerpts of Finding the Winning Edge from Bill Walsh, his book, which is basically a Bible to coaches. How much of it did you have to really, not that book in particular, but for Bill Walsh, how much deep diving did you have to do, maybe even in that text or something, to find the type of guy that he really was? And obviously from a personal relationship, you've covered the NFL for a very long time, Bob. So what can you tell me about him personally that we'll find in the book?
Well, what's different about this book personally, and it is the personal stuff, first, you mentioned that book, Finding the Winning Edge, a terrific book, a deep dive into the mind of Bill Walsh. And Brian Billick co-wrote that book with him, and I spoke at length to Brian Billick about just the process of that and how that went. But, you know, there were events that shaped Bill Walsh's life that I do talk about in the book. There was an instance when he was about 11 or 12 years old. He had a pet duck in Los Angeles, where he was growing up. His father was a very, you know, tough guy and blue collar guy, worked on cars. And one day, Bill Walsh came home to find his duck was gone. And his father had Bill Walsh just walk around the house. Hey, where's my duck? And the father had it killed, and they ate it for dinner.
Jesus.
And it was, yeah, that's exactly how I reacted to that story. And I'm like, and Bill Walsh's son Craig is telling me this, and I'm like, oh my God. And one of the things Craig said was that moment really kind of, it just was like cement in his stomach. Even at a young age, he realized, I'm going to have to do this on my own. I'm going to have to kind of go my own way and do everything and live my life on my own. And it's, you know, kind of a heavy thing for an 11 or 12 year old kid to be thinking that, but you know, you fast forward, and he was a lonely child. They moved around a lot in California and Oregon. Bill Walsh never really settled down anywhere. In high school, he was a loner. He did like to play sports. He liked to play football, and he liked to box eventually in college. But, you know, those events really kind of shaped him early on. And it also led to a lot of self-doubt along the way. You know, Bill Walsh was a brilliant man, but he was also an insecure man. And a lot of that insecurity kind of showed itself and flared during his career. There was a time early on where he'd confide in Dick Vermeil, the Eagles coach, back in 79 and 80. Yeah. And Vermeil is going through his own thing, obviously, as we know, that, you know, he was burning out. But Bill Walsh would have to call him up in the office, sometimes call him at midnight. And Dick Vermeil is still in the office with his coaches, and he'd have to take a break to talk to Bill Walsh, to basically talk him down from the ledge about how badly things were going. Remember, Walsh was 2-14 his first year. So, you know, I talked to his wife, who Jerry, I don't believe, has really talked much at all about her husband and kind of growing up and going through the experiences in Cincinnati when Walsh had his formative years as a coach, and was very disappointed when he was passed over by Paul Brown. It really kind of led to the flourishing of the Bill Walsh coaching tree, in a sense. So there were a lot of moments in Bill Walsh's life, the flashpoints that kind of surfaced along the way as, you know, mileposts in his life and in his career. Got to the top, and it was tough for him to stay up there, and it really wore at him, and it burned him out, and it almost destroyed him by the 1988 season. And that's, you know, we're in the 30-year anniversary of that final season of Bill Walsh, and he was a burned-out coach at that time and couldn't go much further and won a Super Bowl and then walked out and regretted it pretty soon and realized that that maybe he left too soon, but never did coach another game in the NFL.
Bob Glauber joining us Newsday, author of Guts and Genius, at Bob Glauber on Twitter. It might be tough to pick, but which one of the three stories between him, Gibbs, and Bill Parcells was the one you liked the most?
Well, I found Walsh the most interesting, only because I probably knew less about him than the other two. You know, having covered the Giants for a long time and covered those Gibbs-Parcells battles over the years, I probably knew more institutionally about both Joe Gibbs and Bill Parcells. So it was a learning experience to learn about Bill Walsh, and particularly because he was so unique and so ahead of his time. I found it to be the most interesting and kind of the deep dive in there. And he was a conflicted man in a lot of ways, and it kind of carried through in his career. But then again, you know, I was not able to interview him for the book. I had interviewed him before, you know, when he was alive. But so it was interesting to talk to people about Bill Walsh. And I think a lot of times when you write about something and you don't get to talk to the person or subject you're writing about, it still can be very interesting talking to people about it. I mean, Craig Walsh provided so much insight about Bill Walsh from the time that Bill was an assistant under Paul Brown. Craig was a ball boy, and he saw some stuff that was bad. You know, Paul Brown was a bully in a lot of ways to Bill Walsh, and it impacted him greatly. And you know, you're the son, you're the ball boy, looking at this stuff. You know, looking at Paul Brown yell at your father as an assistant coach, and it's you know, it was some unique experiences. So I'd say Walsh, learning about him was the most interesting, but talking to Parcells and Gibbs, priceless. And then getting an audience with John Madden to talk about all three of those guys was one of the biggest treats of my career. It was great. It's like having a private viewing of a John Madden soliloquy right before you, and it was fantastic.
How long did you get to spend with him to talk about those three guys?
Oh, I spoke to him on the phone. He's out in California, so I wasn't able to meet with him, but we spoke for about an hour on the phone, and I very seldom get nervous interviewing people, but I was nervous for that one. It literally took me a while to settle down, but then, you know, the guy is hilarious. He's talking about the time that he fired Joe Gibbs. They were on a staff at San Diego State together under Don Coryell. He was a defensive coordinator, and Gibbs was a defensive assistant under him, and he wanted to fire him because during an alumni game, Gibbs coached the alumni, and Madden coached the San Jose team, and Madden wanted Gibbs to tell him the plays he was going to run. And Gibbs said, "No, I'm not going to tell you." And Madden says, no, just give me an idea. You don't have to tell me the specific plays." He said, "No, I'm not going to do it." And Madden won the game. And afterward, he went to Coryell. He says, I can't work with this guy anymore. So in the end, John said to me, he says, so I take credit for putting Joe Gibbs on offense, because the next year he was coaching the offensive line at San Diego State. Hilarious stories like that. You go back in time, and Madden is one of the great storytellers of our time or any time. And it was really a treat to kind of hear how he, you know, kind of came across those guys and learned about what made them tick. And he had a front row seat into the minds of those coaches, and he knew them very, very well. And he was able to see what made him great. And that was the ultimate time for John Madden. I think he was really at his peak then and thereafter in the 90s. He never really lost it to me.
Yeah.
But that was the glory years of football and John Madden, and he was right there to chronicle some great, great games.
Bob Glauber joining us, columnist Newsday, author of Guts and Genius. You can find this book just about everywhere, especially on Amazon. Easy to buy, nice price, good read, good stuff. It only came out about five days ago, so if you got a football fan in your family, an easy buy, and again, a great read for everybody. Bob, out of the three guys, this one's going to be a tough one. Which one do you think would have the most success in say they were 40 years old each, the most success in 2018 NFL football?
Great question. And I do have an answer. I think it would be Walsh first, Gibbs second, Parcells third. I think Parcells needed too much physicality to kind of go where he needed to go. Although he did kind of trend toward the passing game a lot toward the end of his career. But he needed to bake in the physicality on his team. So I think he would, and you can't do that in today's game.
Yeah.
Gives his mind maybe the best strategist ever, but he too needed physical football, and you don't see that quite as much. And the reason I put Walsh first is because in many ways, Walsh was the precursor to what we're seeing today in terms of practice. Remember, he was criticized by a lot of people for having light practices. He'd have a lot of walkthroughs and run-throughs with no hitting. And it was not normal at the time. People would say, you got a finesse team and you're not going to be physical enough. But he was right. He preserved the players' bodies like they do today. So I think he'd be the most ready to succeed at this level, given the constraints that you have on practice and the physical element of the practices.
Covering the NFL the way you do, can you name three coaches that closely resemble each of these three coaches in today's NFL?
Oh, that's a really good one. I would say Sean Payton for Joe Gibbs. Brilliant guy, really creative. I would say Sean McVay for Bill Walsh, because I see that West Coast offense that he runs, and I think Bill Walsh. I think Bill Walsh would say, "Son, you are a good coach, my friend." And then for Parcells, I'd probably say maybe, can I go a combination of Belichick and Mike Zimmer? Two of his guys,
because
they really kind of have the physicality. Now, Belichick's a brilliant, genius coach. There's no doubt, and he's the most accomplished coach of all time. There's no denying that. But I think him and Zimmer kind of reflect that physical nature of football as much as you can in today's game, and kind of willing teams to win.
Bob, it's exceptional, and I thank you very much for the time. Again, the book, Guts and Genius, the story of three unlikely coaches who came to dominate in the 1980s. Find it on Amazon. Find it at bookstores. Came out just a couple of days ago. It makes a great Christmas gift. You can get it on Kindle. You can get an audiobook, the whole thing. So there's no excuse. You're a football fan. Go get the book. Bob, I thank you very much for the time again. An honor and pleasure, my friend. Hopefully we get a chance to do it again soon.
Sounds great, Ken. I appreciate the questions.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.